Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Chaf. Hey, we left off on Daf Chaf Dalet and Beis. We're at the Mishnah toward the bottom of the page on Daf Chaf Dalet and Beis. Today's show is sponsored once again by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bar Simcha, Hashom, and Neshama Shlev and Aliyah. It is also sponsored by Shragi and Ellen Brill in honor of the wedding today of their daughter Esther Rivka to Tzvi Hirsch Moshe, Mazel Tov to the Brill family, the Shbizocha, to a lot of Nach from the young couple. Today what we're going to talk about is the following. First, we're going to have a Mishnah where the Mishnah is going to discuss, we're continuing in this series of Mishnayos that all follow the same basic pattern. Kashal Lezeh, Apostle Bezeh, the characteristic that applies to this doesn't apply to that. So the first Mishnah is going to be about the differences between Kli Cheres and other Kelim in terms of how they receive Tumah and how they transmit Tumah. And the Gemara is going to discuss the source for those differences. Then the next Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about the differences between Kli Eitz and Kli Matchos in terms of the Tumah status of what types of Kli Eitz and what types of Kli Matchos are Mekabel Tumah. And the Gemara is going to discuss the source of that and whether what the characteristics that define a Kli Eitz versus a Kli Matchos. What if you have something that's neither Kli Eitz nor Kli Matchos? What if something is Kli Etzem? So what is its halachic status? Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Beis is going to discuss the difference between sweet and bitter almonds as far as maisros are concerned. That when do we consider it to be a food that is chayiv in maisros? And then the Mishnah at the end of Amud Beis is going to discuss the status of temed, which is a grape sediment that's mixed with water and therefore gives that water a wine-like flavor. So do we consider it to be wine with regard to maiser sheni? Do we consider it to be wine or water with regard to Hilchos Mikvaos? Because there's a big difference between whether Mayim She'uvim falls into a mikvah or Yayin falls into a mikvah in Halacha. And the Mishnah is also going to discuss the status of different partnerships between brothers. We'll see if we get to that Mishnah today or not. So let us begin. Again, we are holding at the Mishnah on Chav Dalet and Beis. So the background is that any kli that an Av HaTumah touches, whether it be a Sheretz, whether it be a Tameh Meis, becomes Tameh and becomes a Rishon L'Tumah. Meaning not everything can become Tameh. Ma'ochlin, Mashkim, Kelim can become Tameh, but not everything can become Tameh. So kli becomes Tameh from an Av HaTumah. Ochlin, Mashkim, Adam, V'Kelim. Those are the four categories of things that become Tameh. We assume, by the way, Rav Shachter often points out, all the Dinei Muktzah are patterned after Chazal point out that all the Dine Muktzah are patterned after the Dine Tumah, because those are considered to be the useful things. The things that could be Mekabel Tumah are considered to be substantial things. So anything that touches, any Kli that touches and that comes in contact with an Av HaTumah becomes a Rishon L'Tumah. However, there are different types of Kelim and the rules of how they receive that Tumah are different from one another. A Kli Cheres can only be Mekabel Tumah Mei Aviro. So as Sheretz dangles in the Avir of a Kli Cheres, the Kli Cheres becomes Tameh. The Rambam points out it doesn't have to be dangling in the Avir of a Kli Cheres. It could be you have a Sheretz on the ground, more likely scenario, dead Sheretz on the ground. You don't want it to, you don't want to step on it. So you take a Kli and you put it over the Sheretz. The Sheretz is also in the Avir of the Kli and will be Metameh the Kli in that way as well. And a Kli Cheres can also be Metameh other things Me Aviro, meaning if you have a Kli Cheres that itself is Tameh, it will be Metameh something else, a Tahor item that dangles in its airspace. So as opposed to other kelim, which are metameh mibachutz, which are metameh even if something touches the outside of the kli. If the outside of the kli touches something else, it's metameh it, and the airspace means nothing. You would have to touch the kli, any part of the kli, in order for tumah to be transmitted. So says the Mishnah, Tor b'kli cheres, tameh b'kala kelim. Tor b'kala kelim, tameh b'kli cheres. The rules of kli cheres and kala kelim are very different from one another. That which would be tor by kli cheres is tameh by other kelim, that which would be tar by other kelim is tameh b'kli cheres. And as the trend has been with each of these Mishnayos, the Gemara leads off with the Braisa that elaborates and tells us what the Mishnah means, because the Mishnah is so cryptic. Tan Rabbanan, avir kli cheres. The Mishnah is referring to the fact that avir kli cheres is tameh, that if tumah enters into the airspace of a kli cheres and never touches the kli, it nevertheless is metameh the kli. Vigabo, whereas tumah that actually touches the back of the kli, tar. The kli does not become tame because the kli charis can only become tame me aviro. Whereas by other kelim, avir kola kelim tar. Something dangles in the airspace of other kelim. The kelim remain tar vegabon. Whereas if something touches the outside of other kelim, tame. So nimta tar b'kli charis tame b'kol kelim tar b'kol kelim tame b'kli charis. That's what our Mishnah was referring to when it says that which is tar b'kli charis is tame with other kelim and vice versa. So minan imili, how do I know these dinim to be true? Where do we find such a thing in the Torah? So Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa elaborates on the Pesukim of the Torah. The Torah tells us about the dinim of Shratzim and the Tumah status of Shratzim, and then the Torah says, V'kol kli charis asher yipol mehem el tocho kol asher bitocho yitma. So tocho, when it says asher yipol mehem el tocho, we learn from there that if tuma goes into the kli becomes tameh v'yaf pishlo noga. And the chiddush is that it's tocho, it's inside the airspace of the kli, even if it never touched it. It's still able to transmit tuma to that kli. So atomer af pishlo noga v'nolim kein noga. How do you know that it means even if it didn't touch? Maybe only if it touched the inside of the kli will it be tameh. So Rabbi Yonasan ben Aftulmus Omer, he says, no, the source for the idea that Kli Charis becomes Tameh when Tuma enters its airspace, even though the Tuma never touched the Kli, it's a Gzeresh Shava. Nemar Tocho L'Tameh, V'Nemar Tocho L'Tameh. It says Tocho with regard to a Kli being Metameh, other things, that enter its airspace, and it says Tocho with regard to a Kli becoming Tameh from a Tameh item entering its airspace. So Tocho Amr Litame, just like the Tocho that talks, the word Tocho in the context of being Mitame other things, Tahar items that enter into a Tame Kli's airspace, Aval Pi Shalonaga, even though the Kli didn't touch the Tumah, so Av Tocho Amr Litame Aval Pi Shalonaga. So too, the Kli that becomes Tame from a Tumah that enters its airspace, even though it never touched the Tumah, it's still going to be, the tum is still going to be transmitted from one place to the other. So, frankly, where vahasaminalan? Okay, but how do you know? I mean, this presumes that you already know letame davaracher, that for with its capacity to be metame other things, that the avir is impactful. But how do you know that to be true? So, how do you know that? Meaning, I get it that you're comparing letame to litame. So, whatever's true about litame is true about litame. But how do you know that's true about litame? That it's that the avir is impactful. So says Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yonasan, because the pasuk says Hatori idal kli cheres. The pasuk is made about a kli cheres that's tame, that it's metame its contents. Va'afilu male chardol. Even if the kli cheres is full of tiny little mustard seeds, so even though the if you fill a kli with mustard seeds, the mustard seeds that are in the middle are not touching the kli; they're only touching other mustard seeds, which are touching other mustard seeds. These are teeny tiny things. So, and nevertheless, we assume all the mustard seeds are going to be tame. Why are they all going to become tame? Because they're in the avir of the kli cheres. Ah, so you see from there that the avir of a kli cheres is metame all of its contents. And once I know that the avir of a kli cheres is metame all of its contents, so now I know li tame as well, that if you put the tame thing in the avir of a kli cheres, it will be metame the kli cheres. Now this is somewhat of a chiddush, that mustard seeds that fill a kli cheres become tame, because one thing we know about a mustard seed is that it is pachos mikabetza, that the halacha is by Tumas Ochlin that you need a shir kabeitza for Tumas Ochlin. So this is a raya to Shitas Rashi, that Rashi says the din that you need a kabeitza for Tumas Ochlin means you need a kabeitza for an ochel to be metami something else. But for an ochel to become tame, it doesn't need a shir kabeitza. So the example the Gemara is giving of the mustard seeds is that these mustard seeds become tamei even though they're very tiny, even though they are pachos mikabeitza, obviously. Now Tosos and Chavdal and Beis discusses, according to Rabbeinu Tam, who holds that even as far as Kabbalah's Tuma, an Ochel can only become Tame if it is a Shir Kabeitza. So how is Rabbeinu Tam going to teach this Gemara about Chardel, about mustard seeds? They're all Pachs Mi Kabeitza. Rabbeinu Tam holds, even to become Tame, it needs to be a Shir Kabeitza. A mustard seed is not a Shir Kabeitza. So Tos says an unbelievable thing. He says, Rabbeinu Tam will learn that it doesn't really mean mustard seeds, it means eggs. It's just giving an example of something that's not touched touching the walls of the kli. Mustard seeds don't look like eggs, they don't sound like eggs, they don't smell like eggs, right? Meaning, well, what do you mean? It doesn't mean mustard seeds. But it's trying to give an example of something that's so obviously not touching the outside part of the, you know, the inside part of the kli. It's just in the airspace of the kli. So we give the example of mustard seeds, even though it's not a halachically accurate example. But it drives home the point that it doesn't need to be touching the walls of the kli. So says Tosos to Bimi Yashev Rabbeinu Tam. Now, Rashi raises a question. How do we know that the reason those mustard seeds in the middle become Tameh is because they are in the Avir HaKli? Couldn't it be that they're becoming Tameh because they are touching the other mustard seeds, which are touching the other mustard seeds, which are touching, meaning which ultimately they have a direct line to the walls of the Kli? So there are mustard seeds that are filling the whole Kli. So maybe the ones in the middle are Tameh because they're touching the ones that are touching the walls of the Kli, and that's how they become Tameh. So Rashi writes in Dibur Maskel Afilu three potential answers. Number one, he says they're less than a kibetza, so they wouldn't be able to transmit tuma from one to the other. Meaning, there's Rashi l'shitaso that tumas ochlin does have a shir kibetza as far as being able to transmit tuma, to receive tuma could be paktumi kibetza. But if you're relying on the ones that are touching the wall to then be mitame the next, then they would need to be a kibetza. Second of all, he says an ochel is not metame another ochel on the daraisa level, meaning midaraisa ochel is not metame other ochlim. And the third answer he gives is that if that were true, then the ones touching the walls would be a rishon, and they'd be touching mustard seeds, which would be a sheni. They'd be touching, but mustard seeds are very tiny. By the time you get to the middle of the kli, you ran out of levels of tumah that are potentially problematic. Another issue that the rishonim raise over here is the tosos and Chavdal Ram Beis raises the question, the name of Rabbeinu Ephraim, how do I know that each chardel is tameh because of Avir Kli? Isn't there a pasuk that says Kaf Achas, that we learn that Kol Masha B'Kli is considered Achas, that there's a concept in Halacha called a Tziruf Kli, that when a bunch of stuff is in one Kli, right, let's say for Afrashas Challah, so you need a certain size dough for Afrashas Challah. What if I make a bunch of small dough, but I put them all in one Kli? So there's such a concept called Tziruf Kli, that the Kli is Mitzarif, then it's considered to be one big thing. So here also, maybe the gargrei achardal are touching one another, and they're touching the kli, and the kli is mitzari of everything. So it's considered one large unit. So the Tosfos answers from the fact that it says kol asher betocho, we're marba that even in a case where they're tola ba'avir akli, where they're tulim ba'avir akli, that they're tameh. So it doesn't need to be that there's multiple of them in the same kli. So even something that's just dangling in the avir akli, we already see from the pasuk that it's going to be tameh. Okay, so the Gemara says, meaning we just drew this distinction that kli cheres only become tameh me aviro or are metameh other things me aviro, but not migabo. Not if you touch something. Not if tuma touches the back of the kli. Well, why not? Shouldn't the kli cheres be able to become tameh when a sheretz touches the back of the kli? Mikal v'chomer from a kal v'chomer umakol akelim she'in mitamen me aviron. If other kelim which do not have the capacity, the receptors for tumah, to such sensitive receptors for tumah, that they cannot become tameh me aviron, and yet mitamen migabon, and even though they're not so sensitive to tumah, if tumah touches the back of the kli, they do become tameh. So kli cheres mitamen me aviro, a kli cheres which has such sensitive tumah receptors that even if something dangles in the airspace of the kli, it becomes tameh. Say no din shei tameh migabo. All the more so it should become tameh when something tameh touches the outside of the kli. So it says Ravina, the reason that kli cheres does not become tameh migabu is because Amar Kra, the pasuk says v'chol kli pasuach asher ein samid pasil alav. That let's say you have a kli that's in a kli cheres that's in an ol ames. So normally whatever's in an ol together with a mace becomes tameh. So the pasuk says if it's an open kli cheres without a seal over the kli, then tamehu, then it becomes tameh. tameh. So you see that if it's in an oval mace and it's open, it becomes tameh. So from the fact that the Torah has to add that qualification that it's open, so we see ezu klisha tumaso kodem l'slipischo. What type of kli is the Torah normally talk about tuma going through the opening of the kli, the mouth of the kli? Havyom is a kli charis. That's a kli charis because a kli charis it says asher yipol mehem el tocho. So we know that a kli charis is makabel tuma from the avir, from the inside of the kli. And the Torah is telling me that even though we're talking about a kli charis, it's only going to become tummy in an oval ames when it's open. But if it's sealed, it's going to be tar. Why is it going to be tar? It's in an oval ames because the tumas oval ames is only touching the outside of the kli, and tuma touching the outside of the kli charis has no impact on the kli charis because the kli charis cannot become tummy migabo even b'tumas magli, even if there's tuma directly touching the outside of the kli. So says the Gemara, okay, but let's say in the opposite direction. Why don't we say that all other kelim should be able to be received tuma from the airspace of the kli, mikal v'chomer, from a similar kal v'chomer. Which apparently doesn't have such sensitive tuma receptors because it does not become tame from the outside of the kli, and yet the airspace of the kli does become tame. So kal kelim shemitame migabo, other kelim which apparently have more sensitive tumor receptors that they even become tame from the outside of the kli. Say no din shemitamin me'aviran. Well, the more so should be sensitive enough to tuma that they become tame from the airspace of the kli. Tosos raises the question that this kal v'chomer does not seem to stand up to any sort of scrutiny, because kal v'chomer assumes that one thing is kal and the other thing is chomer, right? So what are we saying over here? That kli cheres are not mitami migabo. So you see that kli cheres don't have so much tuma associated with them. They're not so tame sensitive as opposed to other kelim, which are much more tame sensitive. So all you need to do to blow up this kal v'chomer is find one way in which kli cheres are very tame sensitive. How about the fact that kli charis, once they become tame, can never ever become tahar? So that tells me that kli charis are very, very tame sensitive, and that l'chora should blow up the whole kal v'chomer. Mashen kein shara kelim have tara b'mikvah. So that's why Tos says that the kal v'chomer, we're learning the kal v'chomer wrong. The kal v'chomer is not from kli charis to other kelim. It's from the din of kabbalas tuma al yidei gavakli to kabbalas tuma al yidei avirakli. And the kal v'chomer really goes like this, meaning the kal and the chomer is not klei charis being the kal and klei mateches or other shar kelim being the chomer. Gav, the gav hakli is not metame b'klei charis and nevertheless is metame b'klei charis. So the avir kli, which is metame b'klei charis, should all the more so be metame b'shar kelim. So it's the gav versus the avir. The gav is considered to be the kal and the avir is the chomer. What establishes the gav as the kal and the avir as the chamor, the fact that the din by a kli charis is that the gav hakli does not become tameh and the avir does. Oh, so once I've established the gav as the kal and the avir as the chamor, so by shar kelim, where the gav becomes tameh, then kal v'chomer, the avir should become tameh. So that's how to really set up the kal v'chomer according to Tosos. Now Tosos also raises the question that if the din were that all kelim were metameh me'aviran, so then they would never be mekabel tuma migabam, because why is that? Because we said that the makar that kli charis are not mekabel tuma migabo is from the fact that it says v'chol kli pasuach hasher ein tzamid pasil lelav tamehu, and we said it's talking about the kind of kli that the pesach of the kli matters, that the inside of the kli matters, and any kli where the inside of the kli matters, we have a gzeres hakasum that only if it's wide open in an oval ames it's metame, but if it were closed in an oval ames it would be tar. Well, once you're going to tell me that shar kelim become tamei mitochan, so then that pasuk is not only talking about kli charis anymore, now it's talking about shar kelim as well. So you can never have, meaning the Torah itself tells me whatever becomes tamei on the inside will not become tamei in an oval ames if it's sealed. So how could we suggest such a kal v'chomer? So Tos suggests that even according to the Gemara's understanding right now, that other kelim are mekabel tamei aviran, nevertheless they'd be mekabel tamei migav. Avam, and they'll have to learn the that pasuk in some other way, that when it says v'chol kli psuach, that it's not mekabel migabo kishar kelim, that's only by kli cheres, for whatever reason. That you have to say that the Gemara is assuming that there's some other limitation, some other way of learning that pasuk. But anyway, so the Gemara suggested this kal v'chomer. Whether we like it or not, it suggested this kal v'chomer. Why don't we say that all other kelim should be able to become tamei me aviran, with a tamei item dangling in its airspace, based on this kal v'chomer? So it says Gemara, no, because Amar Kra, the pasuk says when it comes to kli cheres, that becomes tamei, it says tocho. So we darshan tocho shel zeh v'lo tocho shel acher. That since dafka by a kli cheres, it says it becomes tamei with tocho, so we darshan only tocho, only the inside of this kind of kli matters, but the airspace of other kinds of kelim do not matter. So it's a gzeres hakasuv that the airspace of other kinds of kelim are not sensitive to tuma, to receiving or transmitting tuma. So says Gemara, v'hani tocho hadarshinu. But wait, we already used the word tocho to darshan to tell me that a kli cheres is metame me'aviro, even though nothing touches it. And another time the word tocho to tell me the gzeres shava, that it's mekabel tuma me'aviro as well. So we already used both tochos. So you don't have a free tocho to make another drasha. So says Gemara, arba'a tocho ksivi, tocho, toch, tocho, toch. It's as if the Torah said tocho four times, because it said tocho twice. One, so that leaves us with four drushas. The word toch in the first place, and then the vav at the end of the word toch. So we can make four drushas. So chad, the gufei. One is for the basic din, to tell me that kli cheres is metame me'aviro. V'chad, the gzereshava. And the other pasuk is to tell me the gzereshava that hu adin, as far as being mekabel tuma, that a kli cheres is mekabel tuma me'aviro, just like it transmits tuma me'aviro. V'chad, tocho shazav. Then the third one is the drasha that we just made, that other kelim, the avir, does not transmit or receive tuma. V'chad, and the fourth tocho, tocho v'lo toch tocho, a drasha we haven't seen yet, that the toch of a kli cheres becomes tamei, but that which is betoch tocho shel kli cheres does not become tamei. What does that mean, toch tocho? You have a kli cheres, there's tuma inside of it, and inside that kli cheres, there's an additional kli which is taller than the kli cheres that is holding that additional kli. So the top of the kli that's inside the kli cheres is above the outside of the, is above the height of the kli cheres itself. So, and there's food or mashke in that kli. So you have a wide kli cheres that has sherets in it, let's say, and then you have a narrower kli that goes all the way up, like that goes much higher up, and inside that narrower kli you have food. That food is protected, because tocho below toch tocho, v'afil kli shetef matzil. And not only if the inner kli is a kli cheres, does that work, even if it's kli shetef. What's the phrase, what does kli shetef mean? So kli shetef is a phrase, it means any other kli. It means they're called kli shetef because they have tara b'mikveh, because the pasuk says, v'chol kli eitz yishotef b'mayim. So anything that's tara b'mikveh, we just refer to by this generic phrase of kli shetef. So that's what we use all four of the limudim for. So v'lo yehu kol hakelim mitamin migaban ela mitochan ubenegiyah mikal v'chomer. So says Gemara, well, wait a second. Other kelim should not become tamei when you touch the outside of the kli. It should only become tamei when it touches the inside of the kli. And it should be more chomer than a kli cheres. It should be more kal than a kli cheres. In that, it should only become tamei when it touches the inside of the kli, not the airspace of a kli. Meaning, couldn't one make an argument? Once we know the dinim of a kli cheres, which we now know, right? We had drushas to teach me the din of a kli cheres, that the airspace of a kli cheres is a tumah transmitter. The outside of a kli cheres is not a tumah transmitter. You do not need to touch the kli cheres when you're in the airspace. Just being in the airspace, in the inside of the kli, is enough to transmit tumah. Once we know that, couldn't a reasonable argument have been made that when it comes to other kelim, they also can only receive tumah on the inside, but it has to touch the inside, and in that way, syndrome of kli cheres dangling in the airspace is not enough. It has to touch the inside, and the argument would be the following: Uma kli cheres mitame me'aviro, eino mitame migabo. If a kli cheres, which the airspace of the kli can be a transmitter of tuma, and yet the outside of the kli cannot, so kol kelim she'en mitame me'aviron, eino din she'en mitame migaban. All other kelim that cannot become tame just from dangling in the airspace well, the more so the outside of the kli should not be a transmitter of tumah. So how can other kelim become tameh? All that would be left would be touching the inside of the kli, not touching the outside of the kli, not dangling in the airspace of the kli, touching the inside of the kli. So Amar Krav, because the pasuk says v'chol kli pasuach asher ein samid pasil lelav tameh hu, that the pasuk says about a kli cheres, that a kli cheres, if it's open in an oval ames, becomes tameh. Hi, who the chiyin summit pasil love tame? It's only by a kli cheres that will only receive tumah if it's open in an oval ames. Hayesh summit pasil love tar, which would mean that if it were closed in an oval ames, it would be tar. And we're medayik from there. Hakala kelim bein sheish summit pasil leim bein shein summit pasil leim mitamin. That any other kli that's in an oval ames, I don't care if it's sealed or not. It's going to become tame. Why don't I care if it's sealed or not? Because the tumah will be metame it from the outside of the kli as well. Now the Rashba says, Rashba asks Kasha, how did the Gemara know to darshan this way? Maybe we could have said the opposite, that it's dafka kli cheres, that there's a chilik, whether there's a tzavit pasil on it or not, whether it's sealed or not, but shar kol hakelim, whether they're sealed or not, tahorim. Right, maybe that's the drasha to be made. Meaning, we're saying, shar kol hakelim must be that it doesn't matter whether it's sealed or not; it's tummy regardless. How do you know? Maybe it's tahar regardless. So the Rashba says that's not a possibility because the pasuk says beferish that other kelim become tummy but ola meis. Because when it comes to tumas oel, the pasuk says v'izal ol dal kol hakelim asher hayushav, that you're mazal on all any kelim that are there. So we know that other kelim become tummy but ola meis. So you cannot say that our I don't care if there's it's sealed or not, it's not tame. You have to say that I don't care if it's sealed or not, it is tame. And that's therefore the source that shar kol hakelim become tame mi gabam. Now, next Mishnah, again following the same pattern, kashm b'zeh, pasul b'zeh, tar b'kliyetz tame b'kli matachos. That which is tar by kliyetz is tame by metal kelim, tar b'kli matachos tame b'kliyetz. That which is tar by metal kelim is tame b'kliyetz. What on earth does this mean? So again, we're following the same pattern. The Braisa right away elaborates. Tan Rabbanan, Golmei Kli Eitz, a Kli Eitz that you've kind of hollowed out, but you haven't really, really finished the finishing touches on this Kli, they're Tameim. They're already Mekabel Tumah, even though it's not fully made. Pshutayan, but if you have a flat Kli Eitz that doesn't have a base Kibul, then Tahorin. Then it's going to be Tahor. Whereas, Golmei Kli Matachos Tahorin. If you have a Kli Matachos that you haven't completed the making of the Kli, it's going to be Tahor. Whereas, Pshutayan, if you have completed it, but it's just a flat tray, then Tamei. And then it's going to be Tamei. Nimtza, Tahor B'Kli Eitz, Tamei B'Kli Matachos, Tahor B'Kli Matachos, Tamei B'Kli Eitz. That's what our Mishnah means when it says that which is Tahor by Kli Eitz is Tamei B'Kli Matachos, and vice versa. In Golmei Kli Eitz, what exactly are Golmei Kli Eitz? Meaning, what's it missing if it already has a base kibul that we're saying, oh, it's not complete, it's not finished yet? So, Kol Sha Asid Lashuv, if you haven't smoothed it out and shined it up nicely, you haven't put the finish on the Kli, so it's just raw wood and it's not so usable. L'shabetz, or you plan on putting like some decorations on it, some nails or other metal things on it to make it look nicer. L'garer, or you want to smooth it out with a plane, or a kharkev, or you want to make these little indentations on it, latiach betunas, you want to smear some fish oil on it in order to make it smoother, mechusar kan, or it's missing a base, ogen, or it's missing a rim, ozen, or it's missing a handle. So even though it has a basic form of a base kibul, but it's missing some finishing touch. So tameh, then it has a shame kli, and it can become tameh if it's made out of wood. Mechusar chatita tahar, but if it's mechusar chatita that you didn't yet make we'll see in a second what that means. If it's mechusar chatita, that it's tahar means you didn't really make a kli out of it, then it's tahar. So mechusar chatita pshita. Obviously, if you didn't make a kli out of it, you didn't make a base kibul out of it, then obviously it's tahar. So says Rabbi Tzricha dechak fiza bekaba. Now the case is that you made some sort of base kibul, but not the size base kibul that it's ultimately going to be. So you still need to make adjustments in the base kibul. I mean, you're trying to make a 1 cup size base kibul, and you just slammed something into it that opened up a 3 cup size base kibul. So you're going to need to retrofit it. You're going to need to fix it up a little bit. So that's called that it's not yet that's not yet complete, and therefore it's going to be tar. Ve'elu in gomekli matachos. What are examples of gol mekli matachos. So says the Braisa, kol sha'asad dashuv, if you need to smooth it out, the shabet, or you want to put some gold things on it to make it look nice, the garer, you want to even it out, or the charker, you want to make engravings on it, lahakish b'kornis, you want to hammer it out, mechusar kan, it's missing a base, or ogen, or it's missing a rim, or ozen, or it's missing a handle, tahar. So by kli matachos, if it's missing those finishing touches, then it's going to be tahar. Mechusar kisui tameh. But if you have a full pot, you just don't have the pot cover, so then it's going to be tameh. Kli matachos, missing a lid, is still going to be tameh. So the Braisa said that gol mekli etz are mekabel tuma, whereas gol mekli matachos are not mekabel tuma, they are tahar. So why? Maishnahani, meaning manavshach. If a kli that's missing the finishing touches is a kli, then whether it's etz or mateches, we should consider it a kli and it should be makabal tuma. If a kli that's missing its finishing touches, we consider it to not yet have a gemar kli and is therefore not a viable kli, then it should not be tame regardless of whether it's kli etz or kli mateches. So Rabbi Yochanan, two opinions as to what the difference is between kli etz and kli mateches. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Holu Kavod Asuyin, that kli mateches in general are made l'kavod. They're made for more dignified use, and therefore it's not considered a kli if it's missing some of its finishing touches, because it's not yet ready for dignified usage. Rav Nachman Amar, Holud Mein Yikarim, that kli mateches are not a kli yet because they're very expensive. So if they don't look nice, then it doesn't justify the expense. Whereas kli eitz are generally not made to look nice. Kli eitz are generally made to be functional. So it justifies the expense of a kli eitz, even if the finishing touches are not there. So my binai, what's enough kamina, whether you say like Rabbi Yochanan of Nachman, whether it's about l'kavod or whether it's about the expense, yigah binai kli etzem, nafkamina between them would be bone kalim, which apparently are very expensive, but they're not made l'kavod. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, they'd have a din of a kli etz, and their golman would be tameim, because they're not made l'kavod. Whereas according to Rav Nachman, they'd be like kli matachos, and their golman would be tahorim, because they are expensive. The Rambam seems to say the opposite. With the Merkavah Samishna and Kalim Perakeh Halacha Aleph says that the Rambam explains the opposite, that kli etzim are not very expensive, because bones are readily available. There are animals that die all the time. You just take their bones, so they're not so expensive, but they are made the kavod. Okay, but let's stick with Rashi. Vaz Rav Nachman Taimei, and Rav Nachman is l'shitaso. Tam Rav Nachman kliyatzim kikli matachos dami. That kliyatzim are like kli matachos, that the golmim are going to be tohrim. So mechal the kliyatzim mekabli tuma. So it says more. Whoa! This whole discussion assumes that a kliyatzim that everyone would agree that if you finish making a kliyatzim and it's got all its finishing touches on it, that it could be mekabel tuma. That bone items can be mekabel tuma. So it says more in. Yeah. Well, that's absolutely true. That a kli etzem could be mekabel tuma. So the Gemara says, where do we find that? How do you know that a kli etzem could be mekabel tuma? So the Tanya, the Brice is going to tell us the following: that after Melchames Midyan, Moshe Rabbeinu told the Sarei Alafim and the Sarei Ameos to be mitar themselves from the tumas mace that they contracted while they were killing Midyanim and all the kelim that became tamei. He says, v'chol begin v'chol kliyara v'chol masayiz v'chol kliyetz tischatou. So it says v'chol masayiz. So Titania, the Braisa tells us, what were those instructions of Moshe Rabbeinu? What was he telling them? They need to be mitayer. Rabbi Shlomo ben Rosh, Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omer, Ma tamul amar v'chol maseh izim. What did he mean when he spoke about that which is made out of goats? Tischatou, that you need to be mitayer it. It means anything that is made from a goat, from the horns, and from the hooves. That these are etzem. Karnayim are clay. Whatever you make from the horn is considered clay etzem. So apparently clay etzem are makabel tuma because Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them to be metayer that which was clay etzem. So sharbe mevachayim minayim. So says the Braisa, that only tells me about goats. How do I know the same is true about clay etzem made from any animal other than a goat? Tamalomer v'chol ma'asei izim. So the word v'chol is actually, I could have just said ma'asei izim. Why did it say v'chol ma'asei izim? So it must be to be mar b'shar behem Behema V'chaya. Im Kein Matam Lamer Yizim. Then why mention goats? Just say V'chol Maisei, you know, Etzem, whatever. Why do you have to say such a particular animal? So Prat La'ofos. It's coming to tell me that if you make a kli out of the bones of birds, then it's not Mekabel Tumah. That it's only the bones of Behemos V'chayos that are Mekabel Tumah, not the bones of birds. And it's interesting, Tosis points out in Maseches Baba Kama that the Gemara Baba Kama Daf Nun Dalet says that had the Torah just said shor when it came to Nizkei Bar, that if a shor falls into a bar, you got to pay for the damage done to the shor, we would have been mima'et anything that's not karav al-gabi mizbeach. We would have said shor and anything that's brought on the mizbeach is included in the category of shor. Anything that's not brought on the mizbeach is excluded. So ask Tosis, why does Gemara say that we're mima'et from Izim only ofos? Why don't we say that Izim includes anything that's brought on the mizbeach? And we're mimayit anything, meaning what sort of assumption do we make? How come the assumption of Baba Kama is different than the assumption over here? Over there we say, oh, had it just said shor, I would assume the category of shor means mizbeach-related animals. So why by izim do we assume it means all behemos v'chayos, just not birds? What do you mean? Let's say it's mizbeach-related animals. So Tosfos writes that according to the opinion of the Gemara, that kol kos binyan sham, the word kol that it says over there is a riboy and it's marba hakol, so then we understand very well over here also it says v'kol ma'ase izim, and therefore it's marba hakol and it's only mimayit ofos. Meaning if you look carefully at that sugya, there is an opinion over there that once you have the word kol, it's much more inclusive. That had you just had the word shor in a chinami, the word shor would have included only things that are royal the mizbeach. Once you have the word kol, it's much more inclusive. So over here also the word kol is much more inclusive. Okay, next Mishnah, and again we're continuing in the same basic pattern of noig bezeh, not noig bezeh. So the Mishnah Maseches Maisros in the first paragraph of Maisros tells us that the chi of Maiser is only chal when there's a gemar hapri. So what is the gemar hapri? It depends on the pri. And whenever that particular pri reaches that stage of gemar hapri, it's gotten to the stage of onas hamaisros. So Tosefta says that the shear of onas hamaisros of shkedim of almonds is that yasa magura. That the pre becomes detached from its outer shell, and it's as if it's in an otzer shel tavua. So that's when it comes to sweet almonds that are ready to be eaten when they get to the onus of maestros. So there are other types of almonds that are that the chi of maestros comes at a different stage. Hachayiv b'shkedim amarim pater b'matukim. Hachayiv b'matukim pater b'marim. That there are these two types of shkedim, and if it's chayiv and maestros by the marim, at that stage would be potter by the matukim, and vice versa. What on earth does this mean? So again, following the same pattern, we start off with the brisa that just elaborates and explains what the Mishnah is talking about. Tan Rabbanan, shkedim amarim kitanim chayavin. If you have small shkedim amarim, they're chayav in maisos, because you eat them when they are small before the bitterness really sets in. Meaning as they grow, they get more and more bitter. So it's natural to eat them when they're small. Gedolim peturim, but if they are larger, they're pater from maisos because they're not royal achila. Mitukim, whereas sweet almonds, gedolim chayavin, if they're large, they're chayav in maisos. Ketanim peturim, but if they're small, they're pater from maisos because that's not the gemar pri, because it's not the normal way to eat them when they're small. You want the sweetness to set in, and the sweetness only sets in when they become larger. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Omer Mishum Aviv. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi quotes his father Rabbi Yossi. The same quote appears in the Gemara in Erev in the name of Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi. But the Malom Rome says that's incorrect because there's no such person, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi. There's Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi comes up all over Shas. So he says that Zevazel Liftar, that there's no chiluk between Marim and Matukim. They're both pots from Maisos because when they're small, because when they're small, they are not yet complete. And even the Shkedim Marim that are small that you could eat are still potter. It's still not considered a pre. Va'armila Zevazel Lechiyuv. However, others say that Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi said in the name of his father that when they're large, it doesn't matter whether they are marim or matukim; they're both going to be chayiv maisos. Meaning, even the shkedim amarim, when they're large and are very, very bitter, so you would think no one in their right mind would eat them. Even that is chayiv maisos. So Amar Rabbi La'a, Hora Rabbi Chanina b'tzipori k'divrei Omer liftar. Rabbi Chanina paskin b'tzipori that small almonds, whether they're marim or matukim, are pata from maisos. Even though the small marim ones ones are edible. That's when you would eat them, dafka, when they're small. So the Gemara says, let's try to figure out the opinion that says that the large ones are chayiv in maisrus, even if they're bitter. I would have thought that the large bitter ones should be potter from maisrus because they are inedible. So the man diyamar zev zeh l'chiyuv gedolim l'maychazu. What are you using the large almonds for? What are they rotwi for if they become so bitter that they're inedible when they're large? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, hol v'yoch l'matkan al yedei ha'or. Since even the bitter almonds, if you roast them, so they lose some of the bitterness. So since you could sweeten them by roasting them, they therefore are considered a food and are going to be chayiv in maisos. Let's stop over here because I got to get to Pesach for a shiur this morning. So we'll pick up from the Mishnah tomorrow.